Another full week for President-elect Donald Trump. He was named Time Magazine's Person of the Year. Graphic designers trying to deconstruct the picture. Is that leather chair meant to look like a throne? Trump also made cabinet picks, held thank you rallies, fired off combative tweets.
So let's check in with our weekly roundtable. And joining us today, Enrique Acevedo, news anchor at Univision. Hi, Enrique.
Hi, Jeremy.
And Rebecca Sinderbrand is managing editor of The Fix at The Washington Post. Hi, Rebecca.
Hello.
And we're hearing more about Trump's cabinet picks. I want to ask you what you make of this, because so far we have a number of very rich people, a number of CEOs. Just this week, the labor secretary pick is Andrew Puzder, a CEO of CKE Restaurants. And we've got Linda McMahon now in the mix, wrestling fortune there. Let's listen to Trump, because he responded to this in a rally in Iowa last night.
And one newspaper criticized me. Why can't they have people of modest means? Because I want people that made a fortune. Because now they're negotiating with you. Okay? It's no different than a great baseball player or a great golfer.
Rebecca, what do you make of these picks so far? And is he going to get any pushback from this white working class base of support that he has for putting all these millionaires and billionaires in power?
I think, you know, from his supporters so far, the reaction we've gotten is they're very much in a wait-and-see approach. They're inclined to give him support. They trust on him to follow through on his promises. Of course, you know, this is just the very beginning. These people have not been confirmed yet. During the confirmation hearings, there are going to be a lot of questions. You know, we're hearing, of course, that Goldman Sachs is now in the mix as well with the appointment of another cabinet post for Trump. The other issue, I think, that people may focus on more in the weeks ahead is the fact that there are so many Trump campaign donors involved in the cabinet, up to $12 million from cabinet appointees given to Donald Trump or a super PAC. So,
and is that different than what other presidents would do? To put a lot of donors in power?
Well, you know, donors, as we know, donors obviously find a home in the administration. Traditionally, ambassadors tend to be prominent donors. It's not as common to find big money donors in the cabinet itself, and particularly for Donald Trump, who made a point on the campaign trail of criticizing what he called pay for play with Hillary Clinton, the idea that donors got any kind of special access while she was in the State Department. So it'll be interesting to see exactly how that conversation takes shape.
Well, and he also criticized his opponents, Robin, sorry about that, but he also criticized his opponents, Ted Cruz and Hillary Clinton, for getting too cozy with Goldman Sachs. And now we have, three executives or former executives from that private bank, you know, in key positions in the cabinet.
Well, and we're expecting to hear who might be his nominee for Secretary of State. Now, Jimmy Fallon made Mitt Romney the butt of a joke this week because of what seems like his endless audition. Let's listen.
I get this. There are reports that Trump will be getting a golden doodle puppy when he takes office. And this is very interesting. To teach it how to beg and roll over, they actually brought in Mitt Romney.
Okay, big laugh there. But this is kind of painful to watch. Enrique, you weigh in. Trump senior advisor Kellyanne Conway said today that the former Ford CEO Alan Mulally is now also under consideration for Secretary of State. Another sort of cut to Mitt Romney, who was one of the first to sort of be asked to this, this tryout. You know, some people are saying that if he's not picked at this point, it will be so that he can't criticize Donald Trump because it will look like sour grapes. Your thoughts on this Secretary of State painful process?
It has been painful. I agree, Robin. I think there's a difference between moving forward and having the best interest of the nation at heart and then renouncing your convictions. Should we believe everything Mitt Romney and others said before the election? Or should we believe what they're saying right now? Because they're going in exactly opposite ways. And that's, I think, important. And it adds to this notion that politicians are not to be trusted. They're just perpetuating that cycle by rolling over and taking instructions from the administration, from the president-elect. Mm.
And what about the people who are traipsing through Trump Tower who are not being considered for jobs, at least as far as we know? People like Leonardo DiCaprio, a climate change activist, and Al Gore, of course, also a big climate change activist. Here's what Al Gore said after his meeting with Trump.
Had a lengthy and very productive session with the president-elect. It was a sincere search for areas of common ground.
A sincere search for areas of common ground, and then within days, Trump decides to nominate climate change skeptic Scott Pruitt to head the EPA. Rebecca, what's all this about with the climate change issue and Trump bringing these activists in and then going the opposite direction?
It's interesting because you've gotten these two sets of competing signals from the Trump team, and it seems as though the more concrete, substantive action has been on the side of those who deny climate change and would like to dismantle President Obama's climate change efforts. You have a very, very detailed questionnaire going from the Trump team to the Department of Energy, asking for the names of all employees who've been involved in climate meetings, asking for a list of all the programs that President Obama views as a priority on climate change. So there's a sense that they're looking for the pieces that they would need to essentially dismantle it. Now, this is, of course, not necessarily what Donald Trump is telling people who are meeting with him, like Al Gore, like Leonardo DiCaprio. And Ivanka Trump is someone who's also expressed concern about climate change. So on the one hand, they are saying all the right things when the people are in front of them that the people in front of them want to hear. But he is mostly surrounded by people who believe the opposite, and he's clearly also telling them very much what they would like to hear.
Well, let's take a look at immigration. It came up a lot this week. Yesterday, Donald Trump visited Ohio State University to meet privately with some of those wounded last week by the knife-wielding, self-radicalized Somali Muslim refugee who was a student there. Here's what Trump said at his rally in Iowa last night.
You know, I've used the expression extreme vetting. Extreme. Oh, it's going to be extreme. We want people coming into our country. We want them coming in legally. But we want them coming in legally. But we want them coming in. You know, when I talk about we will build the wall, we will. There's going to be doors on the wall, big, beautiful doors.
Well, and Enrique, talk about that, because he's also nominating Andy Puzder, head of the parent company of Carl's Jr., who is, you know, some are saying he's no friend of workers, but he has also reportedly said, you know, we need immigrants to do jobs that a lot of white working class Americans won't. Your sense of the messages we're getting from the Trump administration here?
This is such an important issue, and we saw that during the campaign, Robin. I think we have to get to an honest conversation about immigration. We've been hearing this narrative that we need to close the border, we need to build the wall. Immigration is not positive for this country, only legal immigration, but we're going to make it so hard even for legal immigrants to come to this country. No one is in favor, I think, or not a lot of people are in favor of open borders. But we do need to have a conversation about how do we solve, first, the lives of 11, 12 million people who are already here and have been here for decades, and also how do we solve the root causes of immigration, not how do we close the door, because if you close the door, which we have been doing for the last decade or so, people are still going to try to come over, that wall or the door or whatever. We need to work with these communities in South America, Central America, and other parts of the world to really solve the root causes of immigration.
Well, we spoke with a Republican congressman this week who believes that Trump will not end up building the wall and that Trump will not end up deporting all the 11 million people in the country illegally. Do you have any more certainty, Enrique, about what Trump might do on these issues?
You know, I don't really pay a lot of attention on whether or not he'll be able to finish or start the wall or finish the mass deportation of 11 million undocumented immigrants. When you have the president, when you have the person who occupies the Oval Office calling for, you know, the construction of a wall, for mass deportation, you in a way are promoting discrimination, and you also create a culture of fear and divisiveness among neighbors, friends, among co-workers. So I think that's the negative side of it. If he builds the wall, if he finishes the wall, that's another discussion. Just having this narrative from the Oval Office, it's already, you know, having a huge negative effect on our society.
Well, after winning Time Magazine's Person of the Year award, Donald Trump went on NBC's Today Show, and he was asked if he felt responsible for these political divisions.
I'm not president yet, so I didn't do anything to divide. And I will say this. I've now gotten to know President Obama. I really like him. We have, I think I can say, at least for myself, I can't speak for him, but we have a really good chemistry together. We talk. He loves the country. He wants to do right by the country.
Rebecca Cinderbrand, your thoughts there. He loves the country, something that we never heard in the year campaign up to this. But also, Obama has reportedly told people he is willing to be Trump's educator-in-chief. Your thoughts?
Well, again, you know, this comes back to people who are in front of Donald Trump. If they say the right things, they can get him on board. He's met, of course, with Al Gore, with President Obama, taken advice from Rahm Emanuel. If you say the right things to Donald Trump, he's apparently willing to listen. Whether he'll act on it or not is a question, but he'll listen.
That's Rebecca Sinderbrand, managing editor at The Fix at The Washington Post, and Enrique Acevedo, news anchor at Univision. Of course, we are going to be hearing more from the Trump team, potentially the Secretary of State pick coming up next week, and we will be following that. How many more meetings will Mitt Romney make at Trump Tower? Thanks to both of you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure.